purpose and sources for neurofeedback session procedures. Neurofeedback session procedures provide a structured framework that ensures consistency, accuracy, and efficacy in training the brain's activity. As a therapeutic tool, neurofeedback relies on precise methods to monitor, analyze, and provide feedback on brainwave patterns. The overarching goal is to enable clients to self-regulate their brain activity, promoting mental well-being and cognitive enhancement. Adhering to standardized procedures not only fosters better outcomes, but also instills confidence in both practitioners and clients about the reliability of the intervention. The sources that inform these procedures draw heavily from decades of research and clinical experience. Foundational texts, such as those by Demos, Suter, and Longo, as well as Thompson and Thompson, offer comprehensive guidance on the mechanics of neurofeedback. These works provide practitioners with detailed protocols for assessment, session planning, and intervention strategies tailored to the individual needs of each client. Their insights ensure that practitioners maintain a high standard of care, using evidence-based techniques that align with the latest advancements in neuroscience and biofeedback technology. Practitioners must also consider ethical standards and clinical guidelines outlined by organizations like the Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCIA. These standards emphasize the importance of client safety, informed consent, and ongoing education for practitioners. By integrating these principles into session procedures, practitioners can better navigate the complexities of neurofeedback, particularly when working with diverse populations or addressing challenging conditions such as traumatic brain injuries or developmental disorders. Another critical aspect of neurofeedback is ensuring adaptability within the framework of procedures. While standardized approaches are crucial, neurofeedback's dynamic nature often necessitates adjustments to fit individual client presentations. For instance, a client with high levels of anxiety may require a slower-paced session or additional grounding techniques to ensure comfort and engagement. Sources like client feedback, pre-session assessments, and real-time EEG data guide these modifications, ensuring that the intervention remains client-centered and effective. EEG equipment literacy requirements. A foundational aspect of neurofeedback is understanding and effectively using EEG equipment. EEG equipment literacy begins with knowledge of the International 10-20 system, a standardized method for electrode placement. This system ensures practitioners can consistently locate and record activity from specific brain regions. Familiarity with cranial landmarks like the nasion, enion, and preauricular points is essential for accurate electrode placement. These landmarks serve as reference points for identifying sites that correspond to areas of interest in the brain, such as those linked to cognitive functions, emotional regulation, or sensory processing. Another key component of equipment literacy is recognizing normal and abnormal EEG patterns that the equipment displays. A practitioner must be able to differentiate between benign artifacts, such as those caused by eye movements or muscle tension, and significant irregularities indicative of neurological conditions. This skill ensures that recorded data is valid and that training protocols are appropriately tailored. Training in artifact recognition and mitigation, such as addressing impedance issues or contamination from external sources, further enhances the quality of EEG readings. Hands-on proficiency with EEG software and hardware is equally critical. Practitioners must understand how to configure and calibrate EEG amplifiers, select appropriate filters, and adjust sensitivity settings based on client needs. Modern neurofeedback systems often include software that allows for real-time data analysis and visualization, making interpreting trends in brainwave activity easier. Literacy in these tools improves session outcomes and streamlines the practitioner's workflow, enabling them to focus more on client interaction and less on troubleshooting technical issues. Finally, gaining experience in using full-cap systems and performing 19-channel quantitative EEG assessments broadens a practitioner's capabilities. Full-cap systems provide a comprehensive view of brain cortical activity, allowing for more detailed analysis and the development of complex treatment protocols. Understanding how to integrate QEG findings into clinical practice empowers practitioners to move beyond symptom management and address underlying patterns of dysregulation. By mastering these facets of EEG equipment literacy, practitioners can deliver higher quality neurofeedback interventions that promote meaningful, lasting change for their clients. EEG monitoring and analysis. International 10-20 system and modified combinatorial nomenclature system. The International 10-20 system is a cornerstone of EEG monitoring, providing a standardized approach for electrode placement that ensures consistent and accurate recording of brain activity across various sessions and individuals. This system utilizes cranial landmarks, including the nasion, the bridge of the nose, the anean, a bony prominence at the back of the skull, and the preauricular notch, a bony depression just in front of each ear, to divide the scalp into proportional distances. By placing electrodes at these standardized locations, the 10-20 system enables practitioners to reliably target specific brain regions, facilitating precise monitoring and comparison of neural activity. The system's name, 10-20, refers to the percentage distances between electrode sites, ensuring that electrodes are evenly distributed over the scalp. This arrangement enables the measurement of activity from distinct brain regions, including the frontal, parietal, occipital, and temporal lobes. For instance, the F3 and F4 sites target the prefrontal cortex, which is often analyzed in neurofeedback to address issues such as attention regulation and emotional control. The consistency the 10-20 system provides is invaluable for practitioners aiming to track changes in brainwave patterns over time or across multiple clients. In addition to the classical 10-20 system, the modified combinatorial nomenclature system, also called the 10-10 system, offers enhanced granularity with its 64 electrode sites. The 10-10 system enables a more detailed examination of neural activity by adding intermediate electrode sites. This is particularly beneficial in advanced neurofeedback applications where finer distinctions between brain regions are necessary, such as mapping connectivity, assessing event-related potentials, or targeting highly localized dysregulations. While more complex, this system is increasingly adopted in research and clinical settings for its precision. Both systems rely on a clear understanding of cranial anatomy and require practitioners to accurately measure and mark electrode placements. This ensures that data collection is both valid and reproducible. Moreover, as technology advances, software tools that integrate the 10-20 and 10-10 systems into electrode cap designs make this process more efficient. These developments enhance practitioners' ability to leverage these systems for detailed monitoring and effective neurofeedback interventions. Quantitative EEG and its applications. Quantitative EEG is an advanced neurofeedback tool that converts raw EEG data into statistical and visual representations of brain activity by comparing a person's findings to a normative database. Unlike traditional EEG, which primarily captures real-time brainwave patterns, QEG provides a deeper analysis by measuring the amplitude, coherence, and phase of specific frequency bands. These parameters are then mapped onto cortical surface images in 2 and 3 dimensions, allowing practitioners to visualize the spatial distribution of neural activity. Such insights are particularly valuable for identifying dysregulated brain regions and tailoring individualized treatment plans. One of the most notable applications of QEG is in designing neurofeedback protocols for complex conditions. For example, in cases of traumatic brain injury or Asperger's syndrome, QEG can highlight areas of hypo or hyperactivity that may underlie symptoms. Medial and inferior cortical sites can be assessed with this procedure, in addition to typical electrode sites over the superior cortical convexity. This enables practitioners to target specific neural networks, offering a more personalized and effective approach to neurofeedback. Moreover, QEG is commonly used in research to study the neural correlates of various psychological and cognitive states, further advancing the field of neuroscience. Another key advantage of QEG is its ability to compare an individual's brain activity against normative databases. These databases comprise EEG recordings from healthy individuals across various age groups, serving as benchmarks for identifying deviations in brain function. By assessing how a client's brain activity differs from these norms, practitioners can objectively evaluate the severity of dysregulation and monitor progress throughout treatment. This quantitative approach enhances the precision and credibility of neurofeedback interventions. Despite its benefits, QEG also demands high levels of expertise from practitioners. Analyzing and interpreting QEG data requires familiarity with statistical methods and understanding how various factors, such as age or medication, influence brain activity. Additionally, obtaining clean data is crucial for accurate analysis, underscoring the importance of meticulous electrode placement and artifact management during recording sessions. Mastery of QEG can significantly elevate the quality of neurofeedback practice, offering profound insights into brain function and guiding effective interventions. Artifact contamination and removal. One of the most critical aspects of EEG monitoring is managing artifact contamination, which can distort the accuracy of recorded data. Artifacts are non-cerebral electrical signals that interfere with EEG recordings, often arising from physiological or external sources. Common physiological artifacts include those caused by muscle activity, electromyographic artifacts, eye movements, and cardiac signals. External sources, such as power line interference or electrode movement, also contribute to contamination. Recognizing and mitigating these artifacts is essential for ensuring the validity of neurofeedback training. Eye movements and blinks, for example, can produce significant deflections in the EEG signal, particularly at frontal sites such as FP1 and FP2. Similarly, muscle tension in the scalp or jaw can introduce high-frequency noise that mimics brainwave activity. Practitioners must carefully monitor the raw EEG to identify these artifacts and employ strategies to minimize their impact. This may involve coaching clients to relax or adjusting electrode cables to reduce interference. Technological advancements have also improved artifact management. Modern EEG systems often include automated artifact detection and removal algorithms that help practitioners clean the data in real time. For instance, the software can identify epochs of EEG contaminated by artifacts and exclude them from the analysis. However, these tools are not infallible and require manual oversight to ensure accuracy. Understanding the limitations of automated systems is crucial for practitioners aiming to uphold high standards in neurofeedback practice. Artifact prevention is not solely a technical task, but also a collaborative process with the client. Educating clients about the sources of artifacts and coaching them to adopt behaviors that minimize contamination, such as keeping still and avoiding eye movements during recording, can significantly improve data quality. This interaction enhances the effectiveness of neurofeedback and empowers clients to participate in their treatment process actively. Influences on EEG readings, e.g., diurnal, age, alertness. EEG readings are highly sensitive to various factors, including diurnal variations, age-related changes, and the client's state of alertness. Diurnal variations refer to fluctuations in brainwave activity that occur throughout the day. For instance, alpha activity is often more pronounced in the morning when individuals are relaxed, while beta activity tends to increase during heightened cognitive engagement. Understanding these natural rhythms helps practitioners schedule sessions at times that maximize the client's capacity for neurofeedback training. Age is another critical factor influencing EEG patterns. In children, theta activity is typically more prominent, reflecting the brain's developmental stage. As individuals mature, alpha activity becomes more dominant, and beta activity increases in association with cognitive and emotional regulation. These age-related changes must be considered when interpreting EEG data to avoid mischaracterizing normal developmental patterns as dysregulations. The client's level of alertness is perhaps one of the most dynamic influences on EEG readings. States of drowsiness or fatigue can lead to increased theta and delta activity, while heightened alertness may amplify beta activity. Practitioners need to assess and manage these states during sessions, as they can significantly impact the effectiveness of neurofeedback. For example, a client who is overly drowsy may struggle to engage with the training. At the same time, excessive beta activity might indicate stress or anxiety that needs to be addressed before proceeding. Other factors, such as medication, hydration, and stress levels, also shape EEG patterns. For instance, certain medications may suppress or enhance specific frequency bands, complicating data interpretation. By taking a holistic approach that accounts for these influences, practitioners can ensure more accurate assessments and develop neurofeedback protocols that are effective and adaptable to the client's unique physiology and lifestyle. Assessment and treatment protocols. Assessment, home, intake, EEG, ongoing, demonstration. Effective neurofeedback begins with a thorough and structured assessment process that provides a foundation for individualized treatment plans. The initial stage typically involves a home-based assessment, during which clients complete self-report questionnaires or undergo preliminary monitoring of their symptoms and behaviors. This step helps gather baseline data about the client's daily functioning, stressors, and goals. For example, sleep patterns, emotional states, and cognitive challenges can be documented using wearable devices or self-assessment tools, offering a more holistic view of the client's condition. The intake session is a critical point in the neurofeedback process, as it involves direct interaction with the client to collect comprehensive medical, psychological, and lifestyle histories. During intake, practitioners assess potential contraindications, such as recent brain injuries or unmanaged psychiatric conditions, and discuss client goals and expectations. This session also provides an opportunity to educate clients about the principles and processes of neurofeedback, fostering an informed and collaborative treatment environment. EEG assessments form the backbone of neurofeedback by offering objective insights into brain activity. A quantitative EEG, QEG, is often conducted to map the brain's electrical activity, identifying dysregulated regions that may contribute to the client's symptoms. This assessment uses the International 10-20 system or a more detailed 10-10 system to ensure accurate and reproducible results. EEG findings are then compared to normative databases, allowing practitioners to pinpoint deviations that guide the development of targeted protocols. Ongoing assessments and demonstrations are pivotal in adapting neurofeedback protocols to client progress. Regular reevaluations using EEG and behavioral data ensure the intervention remains aligned with the client's evolving needs. Demonstrations of progress, such as reviewing changes in brainwave patterns or symptom reductions, help sustain client motivation and engagement. These ongoing assessments also provide valuable feedback to refine treatment strategies, ensuring optimal outcomes. Treatment protocols, early protocols, steps, demonstration, trends, ethics. Developing and implementing treatment protocols in neurofeedback is grounded in evidence-based practices and tailored to individual client needs. Early protocols used when training clients often focus on stabilization and establishing a foundation for self-regulation. For example, a client presenting with heightened anxiety might begin with protocols designed to increase alpha activity in the frontal cortex, promoting relaxation and emotional control. These initial steps aim to familiarize clients with the neurofeedback process and establish measurable short-term goals. The steps involved in neurofeedback protocols typically follow a structured progression. First, practitioners determine the appropriate electrode placements and frequency bands to target and identify whether to train for increases or decreases in EEG activity based on the client's QEG findings and presenting symptoms. Next, threshold levels are set for feedback, ensuring the client receives positive reinforcement for desired brainwave patterns. As the client progresses, thresholds and protocols may be adjusted to maintain challenge and encourage further brain regulation. Demonstrations are an integral part of the protocol process, serving both educational and motivational purposes. Practitioners often use visual aids, such as graphs of brain activity or real-time feedback displays, to illustrate how neurofeedback influences the client's brain function. These demonstrations help clients understand the link between their brainwave activity and their experiences, fostering a sense of agency and active participation in their treatment. Ethical considerations underpin every stage of neurofeedback protocol development. Practitioners must prioritize client safety, obtain informed consent, and ensure protocols are evidence-based and tailored to the client's needs. Staying abreast of emerging trends in neurofeedback, such as advancements in artificial intelligence for personalized protocol development, also helps maintain ethical standards and improve treatment efficacy. Additionally, Practitioners must manage client expectations, ensuring that neurofeedback is presented as a tool for brain training rather than a guaranteed cure. Treatment implementation, client preparation, and specific session types, e.g., alpha theta, remote. Treatment implementation in neurofeedback involves translating assessment data and protocol designs into practical, client-centered sessions that are tailored to each individual's needs. Effective implementation begins with meticulous client preparation, including physical and psychological readiness. For example, clients are advised to arrive well-rested, hydrated, and free from stimulants or medications that might influence EEG readings. Practitioners also set the stage by explaining the session's objectives and addressing client concerns to ensure a comfortable and collaborative atmosphere. Client preparation extends to technical aspects as well. Electrode placement must be accurate and secure, with careful examination of impedance levels to ensure clean data collection. Practitioners often perform a pre-session baseline recording to identify any immediate issues, such as muscle tension or environmental noise, that could interfere with the session. This preparatory phase also provides an opportunity to guide the client in maintaining a relaxed yet engaged state during training, thereby minimizing artifacts such as eye movements or muscle activity. Specific session types in neurofeedback are tailored to the client's therapeutic goals and neurological profile. Alpha theta training, for example, is commonly used to address trauma or promote deep relaxation. This type of session involves guiding clients into a meditative state where increased alpha and theta activity facilitates access to subconscious processes and emotional healing. Remote neurofeedback sessions, facilitated through portable EEG systems and telecommunication technologies, offer flexibility for clients who cannot easily attend in-person sessions. These sessions require additional preparation and training to ensure clients can independently manage the equipment and follow protocols effectively. Treatment implementation is iterative, with each session building on the previous one. Practitioners monitor progress through real-time feedback and post-session evaluations, making adjustments as needed. For instance, if a client shows significant improvements in anxiety but struggles with sustained focus, the protocol may shift to target beta activity in regions associated with attention regulation. This dynamic approach ensures that neurofeedback remains responsive to the client's evolving needs, maximizing its therapeutic potential. Session preparation. Review prior session data and goals. A critical aspect of neurofeedback session preparation is thoroughly reviewing prior session data and goals. This step ensures that the treatment process remains goal-oriented and responsive to the client's progress. Practitioners examine the recorded EEG data from the previous session, focusing on the brainwave patterns targeted during the training. Key metrics such as amplitude changes in specific frequency bands, coherence, and phase relationships are analyzed to assess the protocol's effectiveness. By identifying trends, practitioners can determine whether the current approach achieves the desired outcomes or if adjustments are necessary. In addition to EEG data, subjective feedback from the client is an invaluable source of information. Clients often report cognitive, emotional, or physical changes following neurofeedback sessions. Practitioners use this qualitative data to corroborate the objective EEG findings and gain insights into the client's lived experience. For instance, a client might note improved sleep or reduced anxiety, which aligns with increased alpha activity observed in their EEG. This holistic review helps in tailoring future sessions to reinforce these positive outcomes. Goal setting is an iterative process that evolves with the client's progress. Practitioners revisit the original goals established during the intake and assessment phases, comparing them with current outcomes. Short-term objectives, such as increasing relaxation or reducing distractibility, are evaluated to ensure they are met before transitioning to more complex goals. For example, once a client achieves stable alpha-theta ratios indicative of relaxation, the focus might shift to enhancing beta activity for improved concentration. This strategic progression keeps the client engaged and motivated throughout the treatment process. Another essential component of reviewing prior session data is artifact analysis. Practitioners meticulously examine raw EEG signals to identify and address any artifacts that may have skewed previous readings. Common issues such as muscle tension, eye movements, or equipment malfunctions are noted, and strategies are developed to prevent their recurrence. This ensures that subsequent sessions yield clean, reliable data, enhancing the overall efficacy of the neurofeedback intervention. Importance of hygiene and infection control. Maintaining hygiene and infection control during neurofeedback sessions is not just a procedural necessity, but a critical component of client safety and comfort. The close physical contact and electrode placement and equipment handling necessitates stringent hygiene practices. Practitioners must begin each session by thoroughly washing their hands and ensuring that all equipment, including electrodes, caps, and gels, is properly sanitized and disinfected. This reduces the risk of transmitting pathogens and demonstrates a commitment to the client's well-being. Electrodes and associated materials require particular attention as they come into direct contact with the client's scalp and skin. Disposable electrode covers or single-use gels are often employed to minimize contamination. For reusable equipment, practitioners must follow the manufacturer's guidelines for cleaning and disinfecting between sessions. This might involve using alcohol-based solutions or specialized cleaning agents to ensure that all surfaces are free of microbes. These steps not only protect the client, but also maintain the equipment's functionality and longevity. Infection control extends to the session environment as well. Practitioners should routinely disinfect surfaces such as chairs, desks, and computer stations. Using air purifiers and adequate ventilation can further enhance the safety of the workspace. Additionally, clients should be encouraged to arrive with clean, dry hair to facilitate electrode placement and minimize the risk of skin irritation or infection. Providing clients with clear instructions on pre-session hygiene fosters a collaborative approach to maintaining a clean and safe environment. In light of the COVID-19 pandemic and other public health concerns, additional precautions, including wearing gloves and masks during sessions, may be necessary. Practitioners should stay updated on guidelines from health authorities and professional organizations to implement best practices in infection control. This proactive approach not only safeguards physical health, but also builds trust and reassurance for clients, particularly those who may be immunocompromised or otherwise vulnerable. Equipment setup and efficiency. Efficient equipment setup is crucial to the success of a neurofeedback session, as it directly impacts data quality and the client's experience. Practitioners begin by organizing the necessary tools, including EEG amplifiers, electrodes, gels, and cleaning supplies, to ensure easy access during the session. The workspace should be clutter-free and ergonomically arranged to allow seamless transitions between tasks, such as electrode placement, data monitoring, and client interaction. One of the first steps in setup involves testing the EEG equipment to ensure it functions correctly. Practitioners check the integrity of electrode cables, amplifier connections, and software interfaces to prevent technical disruptions during the session. Calibration of the software is also critical, particularly for systems that require sensitivity adjustments or impedance checks. For example, ensuring that the software is adjusted to display the appropriate range of amplitudes for relevant EEG bands and maintaining low impedance levels between the electrodes and the scalp enhances the interpretation and accuracy of EEG recordings by making EEG activity more visible and minimizing noise and artifacts. The placement of electrodes follows standardized systems such as the International 10-20 system or its modified variants. Accurate placement is crucial for targeting the brain regions that align with the client's goals. Practitioners use precise measurements and anatomical landmarks to position electrodes, applying conductive gels or paste to optimize signal transmission and reception. To ensure comfort and stability, electrodes may be secured with straps or caps that fit snugly but not too tightly, preventing movement artifacts during the session. Efficiency in equipment setup also involves preparing for potential challenges that may arise. Practitioners should readily have backup supplies, such as extra electrodes or gels, to address unexpected issues. Quick troubleshooting guides or pre-configured software settings can save valuable time if technical problems arise. This level of preparedness streamlines the session, allowing practitioners to focus more on client engagement and less on managing equipment-related delays. By prioritizing these aspects of setup, practitioners create an environment that fosters effective neurofeedback and enhances client satisfaction. Client interaction and check-in. Self-report and subjective state assessment. Client interaction during a neurofeedback session begins with self-report and subjective state assessment, creating an opportunity to connect with the client and gather valuable insights into their current state. Practitioners typically start the session with open-ended questions such as, "How have you been feeling since our last session?" or "What changes have you noticed in your thoughts, emotions, or physical state?" These questions enable clients to freely share their experiences, offering a glimpse into how neurofeedback may impact their day-to-day lives. Follow-up questions help clarify and deepen the client's understanding of their responses. For instance, if a client mentions feeling less anxious, the practitioner might ask for specific examples of situations where they felt calmer or inquire about how long these effects lasted. This level of detail not only helps assess the efficacy of the training, but also reinforces the client's awareness of positive changes, promoting motivation and engagement with the treatment process. The practitioner also observes the client's nonverbal cues, such as body language, tone of voice, and facial expressions, to gain additional insights into their state. Signs of tension, fatigue, or heightened alertness can indicate whether adjustments are needed in the session's approach. For example, a client who appears particularly stressed might benefit from a protocol that targets relaxation. At the same time, one who seems drowsy might need an engaging activity to boost focus and alertness. Documenting these subjective reports is a vital step in tracking progress over time. By noting patterns or recurring themes in the client's feedback, practitioners can identify areas of improvement or lingering challenges that may need targeted interventions. This information complements objective EEG data, creating a comprehensive picture of the client's journey and guiding future neurofeedback strategies. Quantitative data review, including self-monitoring scales and EEG metrics. Quantitative data review is a critical component of the check-in process, providing objective measures to complement the subjective self-reports. Many clients complete self-monitoring scales or standardized questionnaires between sessions, capturing changes in mood, attention, sleep quality, or other areas relevant to their treatment goals. Reviewing these tools at the start of a session offers a structured way to measure progress and identify trends. For instance, a client undergoing neurofeedback for ADHD might use a daily log to track their ability to sustain attention on tasks. By analyzing these entries, practitioners can correlate the client's perceived improvements with EEG metrics observed during sessions. Such correlations enhance the practitioner's understanding of how neurofeedback affects the client's brain activity and behavior, allowing for more targeted interventions. EEG metrics themselves are another key focus during the quantitative data review. Practitioners examine changes in amplitude, coherence, or other parameters in specific frequency bands targeted during prior sessions. For example, increased alpha activity in the posterior regions may indicate progress toward relaxation and anxiety reduction. Comparing these metrics across sessions helps evaluate the effectiveness of current protocols and determine whether adjustments are necessary. Visual aids, such as graphs or spectral maps, can enhance this review process, making the data more accessible and meaningful to the client. For instance, showing clients how their beta-to-theta ratio has improved over multiple sessions can reinforce their commitment to the treatment. This visual feedback also serves as a teaching tool, helping clients understand the physiological basis of their experiences and empowering them to take an active role in their neurofeedback journey. Client education and session readiness. Preparing clients for a neurofeedback session involves educating them and ensuring their readiness, so they understand the process and feel confident about participating. Practitioners take time to explain the session's goals and the specific protocols to be used, tailoring their explanations to the client's level of knowledge and interest. For example, a client new to neurofeedback might benefit from a basic overview of how brainwaves are measured and trained. In contrast, a more experienced client might appreciate a detailed explanation of their QEG findings and how the session's protocol aligns with those results. Education is not limited to the technical aspects of neurofeedback, but also extends to setting realistic expectations. Practitioners discuss the gradual nature of brain training and the possibility of subtle or delayed improvements. They also address common misconceptions, such as viewing neurofeedback as a one-time fix rather than a process that requires active participation and consistent effort. This transparency fosters trust and helps clients approach the session with a balanced perspective. Session readiness also includes physical and mental preparation. Practitioners may guide clients through brief relaxation exercises, such as deep breathing, to help them achieve a calm and focused state conducive to effective training. They also check for factors that might interfere with the session, such as fatigue, hunger, or changes in medication. Addressing these issues proactively ensures that the client is in an optimal state for neurofeedback. Finally, the practitioner ensures the client feels comfortable and empowered to communicate during the session. Clients are encouraged to ask questions, share concerns, and provide feedback about their experiences. This collaborative approach enhances the session's effectiveness and reinforces the therapeutic alliance, creating a supportive environment where clients feel valued and engaged. Through education and readiness, practitioners set the stage for a successful neurofeedback session that aligns with the client's goals and fosters meaningful progress. Connecting electrodes. Overview of the 10-20 system and electrode placement. The International 10-20 system is a standardized method for electrode placement on the scalp, ensuring consistent and accurate recording of EEG signals. Widely used in neurofeedback and other neurophysiological practices, this system is based on the proportional distance between specific cranial landmarks, such as the nasion, the bony prominence at the bridge of the nose, and the innion, the bony prominence at the back of the skull. The name, 10-20, refers to the percentage distances between electrode sites, ensuring that they are evenly spaced and represent different brain regions. The 10-20 system organizes electrodes into a grid-like pattern, each labeled with a letter and a number to denote the underlying brain region and its corresponding hemispheric location. For instance, F represents the frontal region, P the parietal, and O the occipital. Odd numbers correspond to the left hemisphere, even numbers to the right, and Z indicates midline placements. For example, F3 is located over the left prefrontal cortex, while CZ is at the center of the scalp. This systematic approach allows practitioners to target specific brain areas associated with various cognitive, emotional, and physiological functions. In neurofeedback, electrode placement is critical for accurately monitoring and training brainwave activity. Practitioners select electrode sites based on the client's goals and quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, findings. For example, training at FZ might enhance focus and attention, while PZ could target relaxation and emotional regulation. The precision of the 10-20 system ensures that the data collected reflects the activity of the intended brain region, enabling tailored and effective interventions. Extensions of the 10-20 system, such as the 10-10 system, offer increased granularity by adding intermediate electrode sites. These additional placements provide more detailed brain coverage and are particularly useful in complex cases requiring in-depth analysis. While the 10-10 system demands more time and expertise, its enhanced precision makes it a valuable tool in advanced neurofeedback applications. Whether using the standard or modified system, adherence to proper electrode placement protocols is essential for reliable and meaningful results. Specific procedures for preparing sites and checking impedance. Preparing electrode sites is a meticulous process that directly influences the quality of EEG recordings in neurofeedback. Clean and well-prepared sites ensure optimal conductivity between the scalp and electrodes, reducing artifacts and improving the accuracy of the data. The preparation begins by identifying the electrode locations based on the 10-20 system. Practitioners measure the distances between cranial landmarks and mark the sites with a non-permanent marker to ensure precise placement. Once the sites are identified, the next step involves cleaning the scalp to remove any oils, dirt, or dead skin cells that might impede signal transmission. An abrasive gel, such as NuPrep, is often used to gently exfoliate the skin, creating a clean surface for electrode attachment. This step is critical for lowering impedance, which is the resistance to electrical flow between the scalp and the electrode. Low impedance levels are necessary for capturing clear and reliable EEG signals. Electrodes are attached using conductive paste or gel, facilitating the transfer of electrical signals from the scalp to the recording equipment. Products such as 10-20 paste are not only electroconductive, but also provide secure electrode adhesion to the scalp. The practitioner applies a small amount of the paste to the electrode and then places it firmly on the prepared site so that a small amount squeezes out around the circumference of the electrode. In some cases, additional securing methods, such as adhesive discs or elastic caps, are used to ensure the electrodes remain in place throughout the session, even if the client moves. After attaching the electrodes, practitioners use an impedance meter to check the quality of the connections. Impedance values should be below a specific threshold, often under 5 kΩ for research settings or 20 kΩ for clinical applications. If impedance levels are too high, the practitioner may need to reapply the gel, adjust the electrode position, or clean the site further. Ensuring balanced impedance levels across all electrodes is equally important, as imbalances can introduce noise and compromise the quality, especially of EEG connectivity measures such as coherence and phase. Impedance checking is not a one-time process, but an ongoing task throughout the session. Practitioners periodically monitor impedance levels to ensure the connections remain stable, especially when the client is engaging in movements or activities that could disrupt the electrodes. Real-time monitoring tools integrated into modern EEG systems provide continuous feedback on impedance, enabling practitioners to address issues promptly and maintain high data quality. In addition to these technical steps, practitioners must ensure that the client is comfortable during the electrode preparation process. Explaining each step to the client and addressing any concerns helps build trust and ease any anxiety they might have. Maintaining a calm and professional demeanor also ensures that the client remains relaxed, which reduces artifacts caused by muscle tension or stress. Finally, practitioners document the electrode setup, including the placement sites, impedance values, and any challenges encountered during preparation. This record not only aids in replicating the setup in future sessions, but also serves as a reference for troubleshooting or adjusting the protocol as needed. By following these meticulous preparation and impedance checking procedures, practitioners set the stage for successful neurofeedback sessions that yield accurate and actionable data. EEG artifact management. Types of artifacts: physiological, e.g., EMG, eye movement, cardiac, sweat. Physiological artifacts and EEG recordings originate from the body's natural electrical and physiological processes, which can interfere with the accurate measurement of brain activity. Electromyographic, EMG, artifacts caused by muscle activity are among the most common in neurofeedback. These artifacts often appear as high-frequency noise and are particularly prominent over areas with significant muscle activity, such as the forehead or jaw. Actions like clenching the jaw, moving facial muscles, or even subtle tension can introduce noise into the EEG signal. EMG artifacts can mimic fast beta activity, leading to inaccurate interpretations of the client's brain state. Eye movement artifact occurs when the electropositive front of the eye moves, for instance, upwards during an eye blink or when looking from side to side. Eye movement artifact mimics slow delta activity. Cardiac artifacts arising from the heart's electrical activity are another physiological challenge. These artifacts appear as rhythmic deflections in the EEG signal that coincide with the client's heartbeat. The proximity of electrodes to blood vessels, especially near the ears or temples, can exacerbate the presence of these artifacts. In some cases, they might even lead to misinterpretations, such as falsely identifying high levels of slow wave activity or coherence. Sweat artifacts occur when sweat disrupts the electrical connection between the electrode and the scalp. These artifacts typically manifest as slow, large drifts in the EEG signal, particularly during extended sessions or in warm environments. Sweat-induced changes in skin impedance can create bridging artifacts between electrodes, resulting in erroneous data that may suggest implausible patterns of neural activity. Although segments of recorded EEG can be removed after a training session, each of these physiological artifacts demands careful prevention and attention during EEG recording in neurofeedback. Practitioners must develop a keen ability to distinguish between artifact-related noise and genuine brainwave activity. Understanding the characteristics of each artifact type, such as its frequency range and temporal pattern, is crucial for effectively identifying and managing these interferences. Types of artifacts: exogenous, e.g., movement, 50 or 60 Hz interference, electrode pop, cable sway, electromagnetic interference. Exogenous artifacts originate from external sources that contaminate the EEG signal, presenting additional challenges for neurofeedback practitioners. Movement artifacts caused by the client's physical movements or shifts in electrode positioning are particularly problematic. These artifacts often appear as abrupt, high-amplitude deflections in the EEG signal and can obscure genuine neural activity. Even small movements, such as adjusting posture or nodding, can produce significant noise, especially if electrodes are not securely attached. 50 or 60 Hz interference, also known as power line noise, is another common exogenous artifact. This interference is caused by electromagnetic fields generated by electrical mains that transmit alternating current at 60 Hz in North America and at 50 Hz in other regions. This artifact can significantly dominate the EEG signal, making it difficult to interpret brainwave activity accurately. Factors like unshielded cables, poor grounding, or the proximity of recording equipment to power sources can exacerbate this issue. Electrode pop occurs when an electrode shifts position or a bubble in the conductive paste becomes dislodged from its position. Cable sway, another form of movement artifact, occurs when electrode cables move during the session. This artifact generates rhythmic noise in the EEG signal, which can mimic slow wave activity, particularly in the delta range. Similarly, field effects from nearby electronic devices, such as monitors, phones, or nearby machines, can introduce artifacts that distort the EEG data. These artifacts often vary in amplitude and frequency, depending on the distance and type of device. Exogenous artifacts require proactive management and an understanding of their sources to ensure high-quality EEG recordings. Practitioners must thoroughly assess the recording environment and equipment setup, taking steps to minimize interference. Identifying the characteristic signatures of exogenous artifacts helps differentiate them from genuine brainwave patterns, enabling more accurate data interpretation and neurofeedback training. Strategies for artifact prevention and control. Effective artifact management and neurofeedback involves prevention and real-time control strategies, ensuring that EEG recordings reflect true neural activity. Preventive measures begin with optimizing the recording environment. Practitioners should choose a quiet, well-shielded space free from electrical equipment or environmental noise that could introduce interference. Using shielded cables and ensuring proper grounding of the EEG amplifier are essential steps to reduce 50 or 60 Hz artifacts. Electrode preparation is another critical aspect of artifact prevention. Practitioners should ensure low and balanced impedance levels by cleaning the scalp thoroughly and applying conductive gel or paste effectively. Securely attaching electrodes reduces the likelihood of movement artifacts while maintaining a comfortable fit for the client and minimizes unnecessary adjustments during the session. Additionally, practitioners can educate clients on remaining still and relaxed during the recording. Real-time artifact control involves monitoring the EEG signal throughout the session. Modern EEG systems often include visual displays that help practitioners identify artifacts as they occur. For example, sudden spikes in the signal may indicate movement artifacts, while consistent high-frequency noise could suggest electromyography, EMG, interference. In such cases, practitioners can coach the client to relax tense muscles or adjust electrode placement to address the issue. Teaching clients about artifact awareness and control is integral to the neurofeedback training process. Practitioners can demonstrate how specific actions, such as blinking or clenching the jaw, affect the EEG signal, fostering greater client cooperation. Relaxation techniques, such as guided breathing or progressive muscle relaxation, can also help clients maintain a steady state conducive to artifact-free recordings. Post-session processing tools can aid in data cleaning when artifacts persist despite preventive measures. Software programs can detect and exclude contaminated epochs, ensuring that only artifact-free segments are used for analysis and feedback. However, practitioners must exercise caution when relying on automated systems, as these tools may not accurately distinguish artifacts from subtle neural activity. Visual inspection of the EEG recording traces and manual artifact removal are often necessary so that only true EEG data are processed and analyzed. By combining environmental optimization, meticulous electrode preparation, real-time monitoring, and client education, practitioners can significantly minimize the impact of artifacts on EEG recordings. These strategies not only enhance the quality of neurofeedback sessions, but also build client confidence in the reliability and efficacy of the intervention. Managing artifacts effectively is a skill that develops with experience, enabling practitioners to deliver consistent, high-quality neurofeedback outcomes. Threshold setting in neurofeedback. Manual and automatic thresholding. Threshold setting in neurofeedback is a critical component determining the criteria for providing feedback during training sessions. Manual thresholding involves the practitioner actively setting the thresholds based on the client's baseline EEG data and training goals. This process requires a detailed understanding of the client's brainwave activity and the neurofeedback system. Practitioners manually adjust the thresholds to ensure that the client receives feedback when their brainwave activity aligns with the desired patterns, typically about 50 to 75% of the time, to balance challenge and reinforcement effectively. Manual thresholding offers the advantage of precision and adaptability. It allows practitioners to tailor the feedback parameters to each client's unique needs. For example, if a client shows significant variability in their brainwave patterns, the practitioner can fine-tune the thresholds to account for these fluctuations, ensuring that the feedback remains relevant and encouraging. This method also enables real-time adjustments during the session, providing flexibility in response to the client's performance and engagement, allowing operant shaping to be used to train EEG activity that gradually aligns with client goals. On the other hand, automatic thresholding utilizes algorithms within neurofeedback software to dynamically adjust thresholds. These systems often set thresholds based on predefined criteria, such as maintaining a consistent percentage of feedback delivery. While automatic thresholding reduces the practitioner's workload and simplifies session management, it has limitations. Automated adjustments may fail to account for individual nuances or artifacts in the EEG data, potentially leading to inaccurate feedback or reinforcement of unintended brainwave patterns. The use of automatic thresholds also differs from the manual thresholding used in research that has demonstrated treatment effects. One major critique of automatic thresholding is its potential to violate the principles of operant conditioning. When thresholds are adjusted automatically, the client might not experience a clear connection between their brain activity and the feedback provided. For instance, if a client achieves a desired state and the threshold adjusts upward to maintain a fixed feedback percentage, the client may not perceive the reward for their efforts. As a result, manual thresholding is often preferred for its ability to support more precise and individualized neurofeedback interventions. Specific threshold types, e.g., amplitude, ratio, Z-score. Thresholds in neurofeedback can be categorized into various types, each serving a distinct purpose in brain training. Amplitude thresholds are the most commonly used and involves setting a specific level of brainwave amplitude that the client must reach to receive feedback. For example, if the goal is to increase alpha activity for relaxation, the threshold might be set slightly below the client's baseline alpha amplitude to encourage incremental improvements. The client's brain must then produce alpha activity with an amplitude that exceeds the threshold to turn on the feedback. Conversely, thresholds can also be set to inhibit certain amplitudes, such as reducing theta activity in clients with ADHD to improve focus and attention. In that case, feedback occurs only when the theta amplitude is below the threshold. Many practitioners use combinations of thresholds. For example, thresholds may be set for SMR, theta, and high beta activity so that the amplitude of SMR must be simultaneously above the threshold when both theta and high beta amplitudes are below their thresholds for feedback to occur. Ratio thresholds involve monitoring the relationship between two or more frequency bands. A common example is the theta to beta ratio, which is often used in the treatment of ADHD. Clients with high theta to beta ratios may struggle with attentional control, so training protocols aim to decrease this ratio by simultaneously reducing theta activity and increasing beta activity. Ratio thresholds provide a more integrated view of brain activity and can effectively address complex neural patterns. However, when a ratio measure changes, it is not certain which of its two components has changed. For instance, the theta-beta ratio may decrease because of reduced theta amplitude, increased beta amplitude, or both. Z-score thresholds are based on comparisons to a normative database and express brainwave activity in terms of standard deviations from the mean of a healthy population. These thresholds are particularly useful in advanced neurofeedback applications, enabling practitioners to target specific areas or networks in the brain that are dysregulated. For instance, if a client's alpha coherence in the prefrontal cortex is more than 2 standard deviations below the norm, less than Z equals minus 2.0, the threshold can be set to encourage greater coherence. This might be done by setting the threshold to Z equals minus 1.5. Z-score training provides a highly personalized approach, aligning the client's brain activity with well-established norms. The choice of threshold type depends on the client's condition and training goals. While amplitude thresholds are straightforward and widely applicable, ratio and Z-score thresholds offer more sophisticated analyses and interventions. Practitioners must understand the advantages and limitations of each threshold type to design protocols that maximize effectiveness and support meaningful brain changes. Dynamic and some squash thresholds. Dynamic thresholds adjust in real time based on the client's ongoing performance, offering an adaptive approach to neurofeedback training. These thresholds are recalibrated at short intervals, such as every 10 seconds, to maintain a consistent challenge for the client. For example, if the client's brainwave activity begins to stabilize and consistently exceeds the threshold, the system may raise the threshold slightly to encourage further improvement. Dynamic thresholds are particularly useful for clients with significant variability in their brainwave patterns, as they ensure the feedback remains appropriately challenging throughout the session. While dynamic thresholds offer adaptability, like automatic thresholds, they must be used with caution. Rapid or excessive adjustments can confuse the client, making it difficult to connect their brain activity to the feedback provided. Practitioners should monitor the effects of dynamic thresholding closely and ensure that changes are subtle and supportive of the training objectives. When implemented thoughtfully, dynamic thresholds can enhance the efficacy of neurofeedback by maintaining the client's engagement and facilitating progressive improvement. Some squash thresholds are designed to address the cumulative activity of multiple brainwave bands. For instance, this approach may decrease theta activity at multiple sites simultaneously, such as CZ and FZ, when the client's baseline shows excessive theta across the scalp. Feedback is provided only when the combined activity across these sites meets the desired criteria, reinforcing coordinated changes in brain function. The sum squash method is particularly effective in cases where the goal is to balance activity across regions or networks of the brain. For example, in clients with generalized anxiety, excessive beta activity might be targeted across frontal and parietal sites. By using some squash thresholds, practitioners can promote synchronized changes in brainwave activity, addressing the systemic nature of the dysregulation. Both dynamic and some squash thresholds require careful calibration and monitoring to avoid unintended outcomes. Practitioners must ensure that the adjustments align with the client's training goals and do not inadvertently reinforce undesirable patterns. These advanced thresholding techniques highlight the nuanced nature of neurofeedback and the importance of practitioner expertise in delivering effective interventions. By understanding and implementing these threshold types, practitioners can create flexible, targeted, and effective neurofeedback protocols tailored to each client's unique needs. Session management and progress monitoring. Adjusting thresholds during sessions. Adjusting thresholds during neurofeedback sessions is a dynamic process that ensures the training remains appropriately challenging and aligned with the client's evolving brain activity. Practitioners begin by setting initial thresholds based on the client's baseline EEG data, typically targeting a feedback rate of 50 to 75% to strike a balance between reinforcement and effort. However, as the session progresses, real-time adjustments may be necessary to optimize the client's engagement and maximize the effectiveness of the training. Threshold adjustments are typically guided by observing the client's response to the training. For instance, if the client consistently achieves feedback with little effort, the threshold may be raised incrementally to increase the difficulty and encourage further improvement. Conversely, if the client struggles to meet the threshold, it may be lowered slightly to maintain a sense of accomplishment and avoid frustration. These adjustments require a nuanced understanding of the client's performance and the underlying neural mechanisms being trained. Real-time monitoring tools integrated into modern neurofeedback systems are crucial in threshold adjustment. These tools provide continuous visual and numerical feedback on the client's brainwave activity, helping practitioners identify trends and anomalies. The software can display the microvolt threshold value and the microvolts averaged over a moving time frame. For example, a practitioner might notice that theta activity has increased, indicating that the client is becoming drowsy. Adjusting the threshold to promote alertness and focus can enhance the effectiveness of the session in such cases. Adjustments must also account for the specific goals of the session. If the objective is to enhance relaxation, thresholds might be set to reinforce increased alpha activity, while thresholds may target reduced theta or increased beta activity for attention training. Practitioners must ensure that these adjustments remain consistent with the broader treatment plan, using each session to build upon previous progress and prepare for subsequent interventions. Addressing trends and client fatigue. Monitoring trends in EEG data and addressing client fatigue are essential aspects of effective session management in neurofeedback. Trends provide insights into the client's response to training over time, highlighting patterns that may indicate progress, plateaus, or challenges. For example, a consistent increase in alpha amplitude over several sessions might suggest improved relaxation. At the same time, a plateau in beta activity may indicate a need to adjust the protocol to support attention regulation better. Recognizing and addressing client fatigue is equally important, as it can significantly impact the quality of the session and the client's overall experience. Fatigue often manifests as a decline in engagement, increased theta or delta activity, or difficulty achieving feedback. Practitioners must remain vigilant for these signs and take proactive steps to support the client. This might involve incorporating brief breaks into the session, reducing the intensity of the training, or introducing relaxation techniques to re-energize the client. The timing and structure of the session can also influence trends and fatigue. Shorter, more frequent sessions are more effective for clients who experience fatigue quickly, while longer sessions are more suitable for those who can sustain focus over extended periods. Tailoring the session length and format to the client's needs ensures that the training remains productive and enjoyable. In addition to real-time management, documenting trends and fatigue-related observations provides valuable information for refining the treatment plan. Practitioners can identify patterns that inform future interventions by reviewing session data and client feedback. For example, if a client consistently performs better during morning sessions, scheduling training at this time may enhance outcomes. Similarly, identifying activities or environmental factors contributing to fatigue can help practitioners create a more supportive training environment. Integrating feedback to reinforce neurofeedback training. Feedback is the cornerstone of neurofeedback training, providing clients immediate reinforcement for achieving desired brainwave patterns. Effective integration of feedback into the session not only guides the client's brain activity and enhances their motivation and engagement. Feedback is typically delivered through visual, auditory, or tactile cues that indicate when the client is meeting the thresholds set for the session. The choice of feedback modality plays a critical role in its effectiveness. Visual feedback, such as a graph or animation that changes based on brainwave activity, is commonly used for its intuitive and engaging nature. Auditory feedback, such as tones or music, can be particularly effective for reinforcing rhythmic patterns. In contrast, tactile feedback, such as vibrations, may benefit clients who prefer less intrusive cues. Tailoring the feedback modality to the client's preferences and training goals enhances the overall experience and supports sustained engagement. Timing and consistency are essential when integrating feedback. The feedback should occur immediately upon meeting the threshold to create a clear association between the client's brain activity and the reward. Delayed or inconsistent feedback can disrupt this connection, reducing the efficacy of the training. Practitioners must also ensure that feedback is delivered at a rate that maintains the client's interest without becoming overwhelming or distracting. Feedback integration also extends beyond the immediate session. Practitioners can use feedback to educate clients about their brain activity and empower them to take an active role in their training. For instance, showing clients how their brain waves change in response to relaxation techniques can reinforce the value of these strategies and encourage their use outside the session. This promotes the transfer of neurofeedback gains to real-world situations, enhancing the overall impact of the training. By combining effective threshold adjustments, vigilant monitoring of trends and fatigue, and strategic integration of feedback, practitioners can create effective and client-centered neurofeedback sessions. These strategies optimize the immediate training experience and support long-term progress, helping clients achieve meaningful and lasting improvements in brain function and overall well-being. Medication and contraindications. Effects of common medications and substances on EEG. Medications and other substances can significantly influence EEG recordings, often altering the brainwave activity that neurofeedback aims to monitor and train. Stimulant medications, such as those commonly prescribed for ADHD, e.g., methylphenidate or amphetamines, tend to increase beta activity while reducing theta waves. This effect can complicate baseline EEG assessments, as the observed patterns may reflect the drug's pharmacological action rather than the client's intrinsic brain activity. Similarly, sedatives and anxiolytics, like benzodiazepines, suppress overall brain activity, particularly in the beta range, potentially masking symptoms like hyperarousal. Antidepressants, which are widely used for conditions such as depression and anxiety, can also impact EEG patterns. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, and other antidepressants may increase alpha activity while decreasing high beta, reflecting their calming effects on neural circuits. These changes, while therapeutic, can obscure the client's baseline brainwave patterns, making it more challenging to design effective neurofeedback protocols. Additionally, medications with anticholinergic properties may disrupt the natural balance of brainwave activity, particularly in older clients. Substances such as caffeine and nicotine, although not medications, are commonly consumed and have pronounced effects on EEG activity. Both substances tend to increase beta activity, enhancing alertness, but potentially contributing to restlessness or anxiety. Alcohol, in contrast, suppresses higher frequency activity and increases slow wave activity, such as delta and theta, creating a sedative effect. These influences must be considered during neurofeedback sessions to ensure that observed EEG patterns accurately represent the client's brain state. Illicit drugs and recreational substances, such as cannabis or stimulants like cocaine, can introduce more unpredictable EEG changes. Cannabis often increases alpha and theta activity while decreasing beta, reflecting its sedative properties. Stimulants, on the other hand, exaggerate high-frequency activity, potentially mimicking patterns seen in anxiety or hyperarousal. Practitioners must carefully assess clients' substance use and educate them on its impact, ensuring that neurofeedback data is interpreted correctly and treatment goals remain clear. Medication management considerations. Managing medication during neurofeedback requires a nuanced approach that balances the therapeutic benefits of pharmacological interventions with brain training goals. Practitioners must first obtain a comprehensive medication history, including dosages, timing, and any recent changes. This information helps interpret EEG data and understand how medication might influence the client's brainwave activity. For instance, a client who has recently increased their dose of an anxiolytic may exhibit enhanced alpha activity, which could affect the feedback threshold set during sessions. Collaboration with the client's prescribing physician is essential particularly if medication adjustments are considered during the course of neurofeedback training. Sudden changes in medication can destabilize brain activity, potentially exacerbating symptoms or introducing new challenges. For example, reducing stimulant medication in a client with ADHD without proper planning might lead to a resurgence of inattentive or impulsive behaviors, complicating the neurofeedback process. Timing of medication relative to the neurofeedback session is another critical factor. Some medications have peak effects that could alter EEG readings, making it essential to schedule sessions consistently in relation to the client's dosing schedule. For example, if a client takes a stimulant in the morning, conducting sessions in the afternoon might provide a more accurate representation of their unmedicated brain activity. Consistency in timing ensures that comparisons across sessions remain valid. Practitioners must also educate clients about the potential interactions between neurofeedback and their medications. While neurofeedback can complement pharmacological treatment, the changes in brain activity facilitated by training may reduce the need for certain medications over time. This possibility should be discussed openly, emphasizing making any changes under medical supervision. Monitoring EEG progress and clinical outcomes helps guide medication adjustments, ensuring that the client's overall well-being is prioritized. Contraindications for neurofeedback training, e.g., recent trauma, severe learning disorders. While neurofeedback is a versatile and effective tool for addressing a range of conditions, there are specific contraindications that practitioners must consider to ensure client safety and efficacy of treatment. Recent trauma, such as a traumatic brain injury, TBI, or severe emotional distress, can destabilize brainwave patterns, making it challenging to establish a reliable baseline or design effective protocols. Clients recovering from a traumatic brain injury, TBI, may exhibit significant fluctuations in EEG activity, such as increased delta and theta waves, which can complicate the neurofeedback process. In such cases, delaying training until the client's condition stabilizes is often recommended. Severe learning disorders or intellectual disabilities can also present challenges in neurofeedback training. These clients may struggle with the abstract nature of feedback or have difficulty maintaining engagement during sessions. Additionally, their EEG patterns may deviate significantly from normative ranges, complicating protocol design. While neurofeedback can still benefit these populations, sessions may require significant adaptation, including simplified feedback mechanisms or extended preparation time, to ensure client comfort and understanding. Severe psychiatric conditions, such as active psychosis or bipolar disorder in the manic phase, may also contraindicate neurofeedback. These conditions often involve heightened neural dysregulation, making EEG training unpredictable or destabilizing. For instance, a client experiencing mania may already exhibit excessive beta activity, and targeting this pattern could inadvertently exacerbate symptoms. Similarly, clients with psychosis may misinterpret feedback cues, complicating the therapeutic process. In such cases, neurofeedback should be approached cautiously, often as an adjunct to other treatments rather than a standalone intervention. Medical conditions that directly affect the central nervous system, such as epilepsy, require additional caution. While neurofeedback has been used successfully to reduce seizure frequency, improper protocol design or threshold settings could trigger seizures in sensitive individuals. Clients with epilepsy should undergo thorough assessment, and practitioners should collaborate closely with their neurologists to ensure that the training is both safe and effective. In all cases, a thorough intake assessment and ongoing monitoring are critical for identifying potential contraindications and adapting the neurofeedback process accordingly. By recognizing these challenges and collaborating with other healthcare providers, practitioners can ensure that neurofeedback is applied safely and effectively, supporting the client's overall treatment goals. Principles of effective training. Elements such as readiness, repetition, reinforcement, and intensity. Effective neurofeedback training relies on several core principles, including client readiness, repetition, reinforcement, and the appropriate level of intensity. These elements work synergistically to facilitate the brain's ability to self-regulate and adapt. Readiness, for instance, refers to the client's physical and psychological preparedness. A well-prepared client enters the session alert, engaged, and free from distractions or external stressors that could interfere with training. Practitioners can support readiness by setting clear session goals, ensuring proper electrode placement, and creating a calm and focused environment. Repetition is another cornerstone of neurofeedback training, as neural changes require consistent practice to become ingrained. The principle of neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to reorganize itself in response to experience, underscores the importance of repeated exposure to desired brainwave patterns. Regular training sessions, ideally spaced consistently throughout the week, help reinforce these patterns and promote lasting change. Practitioners should emphasize the cumulative nature of neurofeedback, reminding clients that sustained progress usually requires multiple sessions. Reinforcement plays a critical role in guiding the brain's activity during training. Immediate feedback, provided through visual, auditory, or tactile cues, helps the client recognize and sustain desired brainwave patterns. Positive reinforcement is most effective when delivered consistently and immediately upon meeting thresholds. This connection between behavior and reward is essential for operant conditioning, the learning mechanism underlying neurofeedback. Practitioners should also tailor the feedback to the client's preferences, as an engaging and meaningful reward system enhances motivation and engagement. Training intensity is equally important and must be carefully calibrated to the client's needs and goals. Intensity refers to both the difficulty of meeting thresholds and the session duration. The client may become frustrated or disengaged if the training is too challenging. Conversely, the brain may not receive sufficient stimulation to adapt effectively if it is too easy. Practitioners can adjust the intensity by modifying thresholds, feedback parameters, or session length, ensuring that the training remains challenging and achievable. These elements, readiness, repetition, reinforcement, and intensity, form the foundation of effective neurofeedback training. Practitioners must continuously assess and adjust these factors to align with the client's progress and changing needs, fostering an environment conducive to meaningful and lasting brain changes. The role of autonomy and resources in client success. Client autonomy is a critical factor in the success of neurofeedback training, as it empowers individuals to take an active role in their treatment. Autonomy begins with education, ensuring that clients understand the principles of neurofeedback, the goals of their training, and how their efforts contribute to progress. When clients are well-informed, they are more likely to engage fully in the process, recognizing their agency and shaping their brain's activity. Practitioners can foster autonomy by involving clients in goal setting, discussing protocol adjustments, and encouraging open communication about their experiences. Self-monitoring is another way to promote autonomy. Clients can be encouraged to track their symptoms, behaviors, or subjective experiences between sessions, helping them draw connections between their neurofeedback training and real-world outcomes. This practice not only reinforces the relevance of the training, but also builds the client's confidence in their ability to influence their own mental and emotional states. For example, a client working on anxiety reduction might note improvements in their ability to handle stressful situations, reinforcing their commitment to the process. Resources, both internal and external, are equally important for client success. Internal resources include the client's resilience, motivation, and self-awareness, all of which can be cultivated through the neurofeedback process. External resources, such as supportive relationships and access to educational materials, also play a vital role. Practitioners can enhance these resources by providing clients with tools and strategies to extend the benefits of neurofeedback beyond the session. For example, teaching relaxation techniques or mindfulness practices can complement brain training and promote general well-being. The practitioner's role in supporting autonomy and resource development is crucial and cannot be overstated. Practitioners serve as guides, helping clients navigate the complexities of neurofeedback while respecting their individual preferences and goals. A collaborative approach fosters a sense of partnership, where the client feels heard and valued. This collaboration is particularly important when addressing challenges or setbacks, as it reinforces the client's sense of control and determination to continue. Ultimately, the interplay between autonomy and resources creates a framework for sustainable success in neurofeedback training. Clients who feel empowered and well-supported are more likely to engage in their sessions actively, apply the principles of neurofeedback in their daily lives, and achieve meaningful, lasting improvements in their mental and emotional well-being. By prioritizing these factors, practitioners can enhance the overall efficacy and impact of neurofeedback interventions. Neurofeedback with children. Importance of family therapy in ADHD treatment. Family therapy plays a crucial role in the treatment of ADHD, particularly when integrated with neurofeedback. ADHD affects not only the individual, but also the entire family system, often creating patterns of stress, miscommunication, and conflict. Neurofeedback, which targets an individual's brain activity, benefits greatly from a supportive and informed family environment. Family therapy addresses the relational dynamics that can either facilitate or hinder the success of neurofeedback interventions, fostering an atmosphere conducive to long-term improvement. One of the primary benefits of family therapy is its ability to educate family members about ADHD and its impact on behavior and brain function. This knowledge helps dispel misconceptions and reduces stigma, enabling family members to understand better the challenges faced by the individual undergoing neurofeedback. For example, explaining how ADHD-related impulsivity or inattentiveness stems from neurological dysregulation rather than willful disobedience can foster empathy and patience among family members. Family therapy also provides tools for effective communication and conflict resolution. ADHD symptoms often strain family relationships, leading to frustration and misinterpretation of intentions. Therapists can help families develop constructive ways to express their needs and concerns, thereby creating a more harmonious environment. These skills complement neurofeedback by reducing external stressors that might otherwise impede progress. Behavioral strategies introduced in family therapy can further reinforce the goals of neurofeedback. For instance, families can learn to implement structured routines, set clear expectations, and use positive reinforcement to encourage desired behaviors. These external supports align with the brain training occurring in neurofeedback sessions, creating a cohesive approach to symptom management. When families actively reinforce neurofeedback goals, the individual is more likely to experience lasting benefits. Finally, family therapy addresses the emotional well-being of all family members, recognizing that ADHD often has ripple effects on the entire household. Siblings, for example, may feel neglected or resentful due to the attention required by the individual with ADHD. Therapy provides a space to process these feelings and develop strategies for maintaining balanced relationships. By addressing the needs of the entire family system, family therapy enhances the overall efficacy of ADHD treatment, including neurofeedback. Comprehensive intervention strategies for childhood disorders. Comprehensive intervention strategies are essential for effectively addressing childhood disorders, particularly when neurofeedback is a central component. Childhood disorders such as ADHD, anxiety, and autism spectrum disorder often require a multifaceted approach that integrates neurofeedback with other evidence-based treatments. Combining modalities ensures that the intervention addresses the child's unique needs holistically, targeting both neurological and behavioral aspects of the disorder. One key strategy is combining neurofeedback with cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. While neurofeedback trains the brain to self-regulate, CBT provides the child with practical tools to manage emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. For example, a child with anxiety may use neurofeedback to increase alpha activity for relaxation while simultaneously learning cognitive reframing techniques in CBT to address negative thought patterns. This dual approach enhances the child's ability to apply self-regulation skills in real-world contexts. Educational support is another critical component of comprehensive intervention. Many childhood disorders impact academic performance, necessitating the development of tailored strategies to support learning. Collaboration between neurofeedback practitioners, educators, and parents can ensure that neurofeedback gains are reinforced in the school setting. For instance, teachers might implement accommodations such as extended time for assignments or structured breaks, aligning with the child's neurofeedback goals for improved focus and self-control. Parent training is integral to comprehensive interventions, as parents play a pivotal role in implementing strategies at home. Training sessions can educate parents on reinforcing neurofeedback goals through consistent routines, clear expectations, and positive reinforcement. For example, a parent might use reward systems to encourage the application of skills learned in neurofeedback, such as staying calm during challenging situations. This active involvement ensures that progress made during sessions extends into daily life. Integrating physical activities, such as yoga or mindfulness exercises, further supports neurofeedback by promoting overall well-being. These activities can enhance the brain's self-regulating ability by reducing stress and improving attention and concentration. For children with ADHD, for example, incorporating mindfulness practices may complement neurofeedback protocols to reduce hyperactivity and increase focus. Addressing both the physical and neurological dimensions of self-regulation enhances the effectiveness of the intervention. Finally, regular progress monitoring and collaboration among all professionals involved in the child's care are vital for ensuring the success of comprehensive interventions. Neurofeedback practitioners, therapists, educators, and medical providers should share information and adjust strategies based on the child's progress. This coordinated effort ensures that the intervention remains responsive and effective, ultimately supporting the child's development and well-being in all areas of life. Comprehensive strategies highlight the importance of an integrated approach, ensuring that neurofeedback is one component of a broader framework for helping children thrive. Conclusion. An intricate interplay exists between neuroscience, therapeutic strategies, and client-centered care in promoting effective brain training. Central to this approach is the importance of precise preparation, encompassing understanding EEG systems and managing artifacts, as well as tailoring threshold settings and session protocols. These foundational practices ensure that neurofeedback interventions are reliable and responsive to individual client needs. Effective neurofeedback also relies on a deep understanding of the factors influencing training outcomes. Whether it is recognizing the impact of medications and external substances on EEG readings, addressing contraindications such as recent trauma or severe disorders, or adapting to client fatigue and readiness, practitioners must remain vigilant and adaptable. This attention to detail enables the delivery of safe, engaging, and productive training sessions. Equally critical are the broader principles of readiness, repetition, reinforcement, and intensity, which shape the structure and efficacy of neurofeedback sessions. By carefully calibrating these elements, practitioners foster an environment where clients can experience meaningful neural and behavioral changes. Incorporating family therapy and comprehensive intervention strategies further amplifies the benefits, particularly for childhood disorders, by addressing the relational and systemic factors that influence progress. Finally, the role of education, autonomy, and collaboration cannot be overstated. Empowering clients and families with knowledge and resources ensures that neurofeedback gains extend beyond the session room into everyday life. Collaboration among practitioners, educators, and healthcare providers enhances the continuity and impact of the intervention, fostering sustained improvements in mental health and well-being. Neurofeedback is not just a technical process, but a holistic, client-centered practice. By integrating technical expertise with a compassionate and tailored approach, practitioners can unlock the transformative potential of neurofeedback, enabling clients to achieve greater self-regulation, resilience, and improve quality of life.